This week is Parshas HaChodesh, so I'll discuss two interesting Rashi's in the section in Bo, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. Of course, most of the Rashi's in this section are very halachic. They describe the very detailed halachic landscape of Korban Pesach, how it's eaten, when it's eaten, some of the unique halachos of the Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim, the four-day supervision period, the Bikur Dalad Yamim. But probably the most famous non-halachic Rashi from this section is a Rashi in Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Vav, which describes V'haya lachem limishmeres ad arba asar yom lachodesh hazeh. In a specific or particular sense, it's describing the four-day supervision, vigil, of assuring that the animal doesn't receive any imperfections or blemishes, and just creating an aura of vigilance, interest. Mishmeres is an important featured word in Pesach in general. Ushmartem es hamatzel, shamor es chodesh ha'aviv, le'al shimurim, ushmartem es hayom hazeh. There's a sense that we are not just experiencing the day of Pesach, but surrounding the day with vigilance, supervision, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us, of course, in history and supervises the Jewish experience, and we simulate that with our Shmira. On this Pasuk, Rashi quotes the Medrash of Rav Masya ben Charash. And Rav Masya's question is, what is the purpose of Korban Pesach? Now, it's an interesting question, and I think the premise of the question is that Pesach, as a response to the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim, is reasonable. But Pesach before Yetzias Mitzrayim is a bit odd, it's a bit peculiar. Nothing has happened yet. So the real answer to that question is, of course, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the Jewish people to live as free people before he endowed them with their freedom. And they have to experience and rebel against their Egyptian masters, and they have to launch their own redemption. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always desires a human initiative. So before they're freed at midnight, they experience an entire day of virtual freedom, of existential freedom. But Rav Masya ben Charash has two different ideas. One of them is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, based on the Pasuk in Yechezkel, a very important parak, a less studied parak, but a very, very important parak about Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Jewish people are compared to a baby that's born defenseless and helpless in a field and slowly adopted by some strange caretaker who then becomes that person's surrogate, or that baby's surrogate father, and nurtures and cultivates that child. And we actually cite this pasuk, or some of this parak, in the Haggadah. At one point, the baby in the field, Am Yisrael, this defenseless baby, is presented as an unclothed baby, Va'at Eirom Ve'eria. According to Rav Masya ben Charash, it's not just the metaphor of a defenseless child in the field, but it's also a nation that had no mitzvos. After all, this was before Har Sinai. After all, whatever mitzvos had been delivered or had been adopted by the Avos probably had been neglected. Certainly Mila had been neglected, according to most Rishonim, because the Egyptians didn't allow them. Other mitzvos may have faded. Who knows what happened to Gid HaNasha? Chazal talk about the Jewish people falling into the abyss of paganism and perhaps maintaining only their names, their clothing, their language, their sexual mores, their social fabric, but much of whatever ritual had developed in Sefer Bereishis had been frayed under 210 years of backbeating or backbreaking persecution. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wonders, as it were, how could he redeem them if they don't have mitzvos lehis asik bohem kidei sheyigalu? So Hashem delivers mitzvos as the interface between a human being and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even though this is the night of revelation, even though this is the night of a direct interface between God and human beings at a collective level, the revelation cannot exist independent of ritual. Obedience, mandate, mitzvah v'osa, is a cardinal element of how human beings respond to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and interact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an amazing concept, because you'd think it's the night, the night in which ceremony and ritual and mitzvahs may be unnecessary, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is descending into history teaching the world about the tenets of monotheism, illustrating the consequences of immoral behavior, punishing our taskmasters. And it's a night that lies beyond mitzvos. It's a night of eternity. Mitzvos are time-bound in this world. They don't mitzvos in Olam Haba. But in this world, our interaction with HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to stream through mitzvos. And without mitzvos, there can be no revelation, and no epiphany, and no interaction. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivers the entire ceremony surrounding Karban Pesach. Again, the language of Rashi, lo hayu biyadam mitzvos le'sasek bohem kideshi yigalu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivers the two mitzvos, and the parak continues, ve'ever alayich varech mitzvoseses bidamayich. Mitzvah of Karban Pesach, the blood of Karban Pesach, the blood of Milah, they had to perform, some of them had to perform circumcision that night to eat the Karban Pesach, kol ara lo yachal bo. And in this pasuk, you see the merging between mitzvahs and covenant, because these are two mitzvahs that are blood-based, and blood is at the core of the covenant between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And these are mitzvahs, but these are mitzvahs that also enable an interactive covenant. But without the mitzvah, the blood is meaningless. You can't just create a covenant through some independent, religiously empty medium. It has to be a blood of a mitzvah, blood of Karban Pesach, and the blood of a bris milah, of the Erech Misboseses B'damayech B'shnei Damim. Rashi quotes a pasuk in Zechariah, Gam At B'dam B'riseich Shalachti Asirayech Miborein Mayim. But then there's a second part to Rashi. And the Karban Pesach isn't just geared to enabling mitzvos, but a particular type of a mitzvah. The Jewish people are immersed in the world of paganism. And part of that pagan world surrounded the worship of bovine animals, of cattle. And Am Yisrael has to make a very defiant and courageous break from that world. It's not enough just to disown it. It's not enough just to repudiate it. But it has to be reversed, and the cattle, which is the subject of pagan worship, has to become the subject of monotheism and of a covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There has to be reversal. And Rashi quotes the pasuk, which doesn't appear in Parshas HaChodesh, but appears right after Parshas HaChodesh. Parshas HaChodesh technically ends in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Chav, Kol Machmetzes Lo Sochelu B'chol Mosh Lo Sochim Techlu Matzos. But the next pasuk, the ensuing pasuk, Vayikra Moshe l'chol zeknei Yisrael v'yamu aleihem mishchu ukechu lechem tzel nemishpachos lechem mishachatu ha-pasach. This extended language, not just to acquire the Karban Pesach, but to withdraw. Mishchu, at least the way Rashi interprets it. Mishchu yedechem me'elilim, withdraw from pagan worship, v'kechu lechem tzel shel mitzvah. And this is the second layer to Karban Pesach. It isn't just a mitzvah. It's a defiant stand. It's a clean break. It's a repudiation. It's the ability to walk out of 210 years of pagan culture and on a dime, in one night, b'chipazon, commit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a theological moment, not just a experiential, a ceremonious moment of mitzvos. And that's why the Karban Pesach has to be offered even before Mitzrayim, the Exodus, unfolds. Number one, because the revelation, the interaction with HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't exist without a mitzvah. Man can't relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without being commanded and performing the will of God. Obedience is theology. It isn't a separate part. The second section of Kriyat Shema is part of the first section of Kriyat Shema. Without the second section of obedience and submission to the will of Hashem and to the performance of daily ritual, then our theological interaction and our theological understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is deficient. Second part is purely theological, that they become immersed in a foreign theology. And the Pesach is an opportunity to cleanse and to purge through a defiant, radical reversal. Another interesting Rashi, Karban Pesach isn't just an opportunity for a mitzvah. It's not just a theological reversal, but it's a collective covenant. It's the birth of a nation. The nation is born not just in ethnic or cultural or historical terms, but in theological terms. We are born as a nation through being selected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as his people. That is at the core of our identity. That is the core of our nationhood. Being a Jew is not just belonging to an ethnic group, but belonging to the nation Hashem chose and accepting and embracing that selection. And when the Korban Pesach sacrifice is described, there's a very elaborate description of who sacrifices it. V'shachatu oto, v'shachatu oso, kol, kehal, adas, Yisrael. Bein harbayim, v'lachum en adam. Now, from a halachic standpoint, of course, this is the source of the halacha of shlichos. The Gemara Kiddushin derives shlichos in part from Korban Pesach. Of course, not everyone shechts the Korban Pesach, only individual shecht, but it is as if the entire nation shechts. The Gemara Mesachim looks at this three-part division, Kehal, Adas, Yisrael, and structures the Hallel recital in the Beis HaMikdash in a three-part sequence. There are three different groups that enter the Azara to recite Hallel on Erev Pesach. But what's interesting is the delineation of Kehal, Adas, Yisrael. A Jew, collectively, not just individually, when a Jew thinks of their collective identity, of their national affiliation, what are we as a people? Evidently, even that subdivides into three different layers. There are three different terms of belonging. We belong to three different groups. We belong to a Kahal, we belong to an Adas, and we belong to Yisrael. What is the difference between our Kahal identity, our Adas identity, and our Yisrael identity? Kahal typically refers to what we would call a community. Typically, communities are driven by common values, common interests, common agendas, whether it's the nuclear community of the family, or what we sometimes term as communities that we live amongst. I think that sometimes terminology can be entrapping in today the world community because of the virtual world and because of the cultural influence. There is no such thing as a sports community. There's no such thing as a music community. There's no such thing as a dancing community or an art community or a Hollywood community, because these are just professions or art or cultural expressions that people find common voice for, but they don't live together. They don't share celebrations, tragedies, life events in a deep fashion. You don't live in the same. Typically, community is a product of living together in close precincts across a long stretch of time, in more intimate settings than the general population, in which your true self comes out rather than the masks that we wear in public. And those communities typically are stitched together by common interests. Adas refers to something else, and Rabbi Soloveitchik spoke about this extensively. Adas refers to larger groupings of Am Yisrael that may be very different. They may have very different ideologies, very different agendas, but they're looped together by a larger, overarching historical destiny, an edah. Rav quoted certain psukim. Hibadlu mitoch ha'edah zot v'chalal sam kiraga ad masay v'edah hara zot. So these are large groups of Jews described in Parshas Bamidbar, facing common destiny. It's not like they build communities together, build shuls, build institutions, build families. But a Jew is always looped and linked together, no matter how different you are, by the Eidah identity, that we're part of one large Eidah. Then the final strata, or the final layer to this, is sometimes Jews walk out, defect out even of their Eidah, at least consciously. They're not in touch with Jewish destiny. They rewrite their trajectory. They rewrite their place in history. But there's something metaphysical about being a Yisrael, about being a Jew, about having HaKadosh Baruch Hu's unique endowment of your Judaism. And Hasidus stress this, no matter how far a Jew wanders, there's still a Yisrael, there's still a Kedushas Yisrael. And Halacha, of course, accounts for this as well. Their wine can be drank, can be imbibed, their Shechit is Kasher, their Eidos. Again, each Halacha has specific details. But I think these are three different orbits, or three different constellations of collective Jewish identity. One is a more narrow kahal of people of very, very sharply defined common interests. One is an adas, people who don't necessarily share much overlapping or convergent interests, but still have that common, and I think in Israel we feel that edah, we live as an edah. There are secular Jews and religious Jews and Ashkenazi Jews and Sephardic Jews and wealthy Jews, and we all feel like we're living in one boat, in one historical process. We share the same historical journey. And there are Jews who don't feel that affiliation. They're very far from that, but they're still Yisrael, and that can never be eradicated. So two interesting Rashis. One Rashi about the function of Korban Pesach before Yetzias Mitzrayim, and one Rashi about the three different layers of historical and Jewish collective identity.